the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Shall we read the scriptures together? Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to 3. As we've been bringing to you the first principles of the oracles of God as we have them here, there are seven of them. We'll be dealing with the issue of resurrection. So let's read together again. Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permit. We thank God He's given us the permission to bring the message to you, and for you to receive the message. And we emphasize that the whole essence of bringing this message is to unveil the truth to us, to have revelation. That's one part of it. The second part of it is, after the truth has been unveiled to us, we must have also the experience, the encounter that will transform us, so that in knowing the truth, we are also experiencing the truth. It's our desire that we will not be like the Pharisees, whom Jesus said that they were searching the scriptures, thinking that in them they have life, but the scriptures are meant to bring them to Him, but they will not come to Him. So the essence and the prayer of our hearts is that this teaching will bring us to Christ and will cause us to have encounters with Him that will bring transformation, not just the revelation, not just the unfolding of the truth, but transformation that will change us and that will conform us to His image and to His likeness, to the glory of His name. We've been dealing with the issue of resurrection, like I said, and I want to read this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You remember we read this scripture last week, and I want us to go back to this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a major scripture dealing with the issue of resurrection, so let's go to it. And I want to read many verses there, just for us to be blessed by reading these scriptures. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I believe unto you first of all that which also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And it goes on, and it says, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. So we see here that the message of resurrection is according to the scripture. And the scriptures that Paul was referring to here is the Old Testament scriptures, the prophecies about the coming of Christ, His death and His resurrection. And that Jesus conformed to these prophecies. These prophecies were fulfilled. And therefore, if anybody will say that there's no resurrection, the person is denied the truth, the person is denying the scriptures. That's the teaching. That's it. And I want to go to verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some? Because some are saying that Christ is not risen. They said it then, and some are saying it today. Verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that he, the dead, rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. That means we are not forgiven, we are not cleansed, if Christ has not been raised. Verse 18. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If we are only following Christ to meet our earthly need and to bring solution to our problems, and we are not living the light of resurrection and living the life of resurrection and dying to ourselves, then we are most miserable. That was Paul is saying there. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruit afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. He must reign the 1,000 years to do this. Verse 20 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And I want to move to verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I fought with the beast of Ephesus, what advantage me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So you see the argument. The issue of resurrection is very important to our faith. It's important to our resurrection. It is also important how we live. If we don't live in the light of this message of resurrection of Christ, then we will live like any other person. And we will say here, our philosophy of life will be, let us eat, drink, and because tomorrow we die just like beasts, like animals. God forbid that we should live this kind of life, that should be our philosophy. We believe that's why we must put this message before us and live in the light of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The implication for us, how we must live our life, that's why Paul says, I die daily because I want to experience this resurrection. It takes death for resurrection to become an experience. We must die. And this death is a daily death in order for us to experience resurrection also daily. So that's why we are saying to you that resurrection is not something we are waiting for until we have died physically and we are buried and we are waiting the coming of the Lord at his coming before we experience resurrection. Resurrection is what we experience daily, and we've been sharing with you that resurrection begins in our spirit when we are born again. We are quickened and made alive in our spirit man. And then next to that is that resurrection is also something we experience in our souls, that we have to be quickened too. As we are born the image of Adam, the earthly man, so also we shall bear the image of the heavenly man, Christ Jesus, on our souls. So this is important. Salvation is for the spirit, is for the soul, is for the body. This is the truth of the word of God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I pray your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved and be made blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have also said to you, when you experience resurrection in your soul, you should also experience resurrection in your body. That's why the scripture says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within you, you there mean your soul, it shall also quicken your mortal body. So we see resurrection is an experience for us now, and but yet we are waiting for that one, Christ, at his coming, and those who are his, like we are seeing in that verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruit, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And we have shared with you on this program that when Jesus rose from the dead, we are told that he was seen with the Old Testament saying, who rose together with him? And they were recognized in the city of Jerusalem. That was Christ and the first fruit group. They have gone. And the next stage we are expecting and waiting for now as the church, as God's people, is Christ at his coming. But this also is meant for those who are Christ. And we have shared with you what this should mean to us. Like we have read in Galatians chapter 5, and which he said, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh and the lusts and the affection thereof. If you are Christ, you will not live carelessly. You will not live for your soul. You will not live for your flesh. You will not live for the lust of your life. You will be crucifying it by walking in the Spirit. We have also shown to you, this is important. Blessed are they that die in Christ. It's in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So the resurrection, the first resurrection, the resurrection for those who will reign and rule with him, the first resurrection for those who are Christ, or those who are in Christ, or those who are in the Lord. You will see this in scriptures, and we have shared this with you. We trust that you are following these things as we are sharing them with you and bringing them to you, so that we can journey together, learn together, be changed and be transformed and become what God wants us to be, and experience the fullness of his salvation that he has provided for us in Christ. This is our goal. This is why we are bringing this word to you, and we trust that you have been blessed. Please stand with me as we emphasize this and we make this clearer to us. Repetition is important. That's why we are repeating these things, for emphasis, for understanding. The whole book of Deuteronomy is repetition. Indeed, the word Deuteronomy means repetition. So God repeats himself to us, precept upon precept, line upon line. So that's why if you go back to other scripture we read before, it's for emphasis, it's to reinforce the truth, is that you may consider, you may ponder, you may look at it for greater understanding. So I want to read Revelation 14, verse 13. And it says here, and I heard the voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which died in the Lord from henceforth, or that in Christ, if you want to put it that way, henceforth, yea, see the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. This is important. We believe that they die in the Lord is the same thing we've been saying, those that are Christ, and it's the same thing we read also in Revelation last week, and I want to read that Revelation for us. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And so this is what is called the first resurrection. Because if you read that verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That's why they are called blessed. That's why they are holy. That's why they are going to the priest of God. That's going to reign with him the 1,000 year, because they have part in the first resurrection. The resurrection that will take place at when Christ comes. This is what we're emphasizing. Those who are blessed, those who are holy, those who shall be priests of God in the 1,000 year reign of Christ, those who shall reign with him as king, because they are holy, because they are blessed, because they walk in the truth. So we are emphasizing this. This is what the church should be expecting. This is what we should be preparing for. This is the day for that preparation to be part of this first resurrection. This is important. Now, I want to also take what we have read in this Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. And they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, we mentioned this, we read this scripture last week, and we promised that we shall return to it. And the issue we want to deal with here is the issue of receiving the mark upon their forehead. Now, this is also very important as we consider the issue of resurrection. If we are believing God to have part in the first resurrection, like Paul was saying, I press on towards the mark of my calling. When Paul was saying that I may be part of the first resurrection, that's Philippians, we are quoting now, where Paul was pressing on that he may have part in the first resurrection. Because Paul was not talking there about the general resurrection. He was striving. He was pressing on that he may have part in the first resurrection. If that's our striving, if that's our goal, we also will need to understand. And he's saying here, these ones who will reign with Christ, they have not received the mark. Now, I want us to look at this in the light of the scripture. I know there are many teachings today about receiving the mark of the Antichrist, and that it will come in different way. It will be sheep, computer sheeps, or whatever. It will be given to people electronically. Well, I'm not denying that something like that may happen eventually in our world. But I want to show you another side, that importantly, this mark is not just a physical thing, but this mark is a spiritual thing, both from the side of God and from the side of the Antichrist. And I want us to see the scriptures together. Before we go on, so turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 9 and let us look at it together. Let's consider this scripture. And then in the light of this, another scripture we'll look at. Let's see what God will be saying to us. I read Ezekiel chapter 9 from verse 1. It says, "He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand." Now we know that these people are not physical people, but they have charge over the city of Jerusalem. "And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar." The brazen altar here is the altar at the outer court. And so we see where this judgment was being executed in Jerusalem. It means it's in the place of the outer court because they came to stand beside the brazen altar. If you understand the message of the tabernacle, you will see that this is where the brazen altar is placed, the outer court. It's important that we understand this. And then verse 3, "And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him," to the man who is clothed with linen and with the writer's inkhorn by his side, "he said to him, Go," in other words, he should go first, "go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and they cry for the abomination that be done where in the midst thereof. And to the other he said in my hearing, Go ye after him," that's after the man that is clothed with linen, "go after him through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at where? At my sanctuary." That's why we are saying that that altar is at the outer court, at my sanctuary, because judgment will always begin where? In the house of God. "Then they began at the elders." And again, when judgment begins, it starts with elders, with leaders in the house of God. Let's note that. "Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house, who were leading the house," this temple. "And he said unto them, Defile the house with the dead," isn't it? "And fill the courts," the holy court, the holy place, and the outer court, "and fill the court with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city." And then let's see the response of Ezekiel here. "And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem?" So we see here that these men who are carrying destroying weapons in their hand, they are coming to judge, to bring God's fury, God's anger upon his people. Now, if you read chapter 8, chapter 10 and 11, you will see why. It's because God's people are going into wickedness, abomination, evil, vices. Wickedness was happening in the city. And God said, this is the time to judge them. And so the men with the strong weapon in their hand were asked to go and to release, to pour out the fury of God upon Jerusalem. You could see here in verse 9 of that same chapter 9, it says, "Then said he to me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood and city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord have forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not." So this is the reason for this judgment. Now, I want you to follow this as we look at this scripture. But before this judgment will fall, God now said to the man who is clothed with linen and with the writer's inkhorn by his side, he said, he asked him to go ahead. Now, as this man goes ahead, he encounters those who are sighing and crying for the abomination that they are seeing in the temple or in the city. And because they were crying, something made them to be crying, and he said, "Mark them for me." So these men who are sighing and crying, and women and children, because he said the judgment is for everybody, men, women, children, and start at my house and start with the elder, the ancient men. This is the way of the Lord. Judgment will always begin the house of God, will always begin with the leader, and then it will extend to everybody, even to children. That's what we have just read. But God is not God of judgment, or God is not a God who goes into judgment quickly. Now, before the judgment will commence, he now said the man with the writer's ink on in his hand should first go to do what? To warn them, to speak to them, to tell them of the judgment that is coming. And those who are crying and sighing as a result of God's anger and God's fury, they were spared. Now, how were they spared? They were marked. And so those who now followed him, because as they follow him, they're to bring judgment to those who will not repent. Those who now follow him, they were destroying. And he said, but they must not touch those who have been so marked upon their foreheads. If you link this to the book of Revelation we have just looked at, then you will understand that first and foremost, God also marks his own people. It's not only Satan or the Antichrist that will mark people for himself, but God himself marks people at their foreheads. And that when God marks his people with the forehead, he's not going to use his physical thing or computer chips or electronic gadgets to give that mark. He's going to give that mark in a different way, spiritually. So this man here that is going clothed in linen, and is going with what in his hand? He's going with the writer's ink on. Now he's to write something. Now you remember that he said in Psalm 45, he said, my tongue is a pen of a ready writer. And Paul says, our epistle is not written with hand, but it's written by the Spirit of God. That's what Paul also taught. So we see now that this writing, this is a message. A messenger was sent to go ahead before the judgment will fall to produce what? Repentance. To produce godly repentance. And those who are repenting and changing and turning from the abomination, they are being marked. So we can say this mark is a spiritual mark. And we can then go further to say that this mark, if it's a spiritual thing, is being given now. Now, before I go on to that, I'd like to read from Ezekiel 44 and to give us a clearer picture of this man here. Because we believe that the scriptures will explain themselves. Let's go to Ezekiel 44 and I want to read from verse 15. It says here, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gate of the inner court, they shall be clothed with what? With linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whilst they minister in the gates in the inner court and within. So we see these men, they are coming from the inner gate, from the Holy of Holies. They are being in the presence of God. What are they wearing? They are wearing in the inner court, they are wearing what? Linen garments. And it says here, they will not put on wools that will make them sweat. Not that these men are not laboring out of their self-effort. It's not the strength of their soul. They are not ministering and laboring in their own strength. To put on linen means to be covered with the Holy Spirit, to cover with the nature of Christ, to have come to a place where you are not the one doing the doing. And then we see verse 22, neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens, the seed of the house of Israel, for a widow that has priests before. But the point I want to make is verse 23, and they shall teach my people the difference between what? Between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. So because they are being in the presence of God, they're able to bring impartation from the presence of God. They're able to bring the life of God to God's people, that God's people are now taught not only to know facts and figure of the word of God, but to carry the spirit of the word. They're able to differentiate between holy and the profane. They're able to know the difference between clean and the unclean. I think this is the picture of the man we have seen in Ezekiel chapter 9. It's a people. Not just one man, but a people who live in the presence of God, who are ministers, but they minister in the presence of God. Their first assignment is to minister to God himself, to come near to him, to go near his table and to hear him, and then to come out of the strength of what they've had from the Lord to minister to his people. This is the kind of people that will bring repentance, that will bring us to weep and to cry for the abomination that we see in ourselves, the uncleanness and profanity we see in ourselves, and turn away from it and discern it and turn away from it. And when we do this, we are being marked. We are receiving the mark upon our foreheads. I hope you understand this as we have explained it. I commend it to you for you also to read this passage and to consider it very, very carefully. And I want to read from Revelation before we close some scripture to confirm what we have seen in the book of Ezekiel. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 3. It says, saying, hot not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So we see again, God is sealing his people upon their foreheads. How does he do that? We have shown you how he does that. That's how God does it spiritually. Then we go again to Revelation 14, verse 1. And say, and I look, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Maybe I should read down a little bit for a clarity. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many water, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harps harping with their harps. And the song, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. So, and the first five, and in their mouth was found no guile, that's deception, for they were without fault before the throne of God. So we see here, these are the members, these are people who become part of the first fruit. First fruits, like we've been mentioning the word, to experience resurrection, or those who experience the first resurrection. We can see here that they were marking their forehead. We can see here they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. They are not married to anything. They are single-minded in following the Lord and following him as the Lamb. And they follow him until they are marked, until they are redeemed from the earth, from earthiness, from carnality that is in them, in their soul, in their body, and they become the first fruit to experience first resurrection, like we have been sharing with you. So listener, I hope you follow this, and I trust that the Lord is bringing this message to you and it's being clear to you. I want to also read Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. We have read that for us before, but I won't bother because of our time. But let me just read Revelation 22 and verse 4, and we'll be closing. Revelation 22, verse 4 says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. So we see here that God himself is marking his people, and how he's marking his people, we have shown that to you spiritually. And then we know that Satan is marking people for destruction. But our reason for bringing this to you is that we may understand the scripture, we may understand what is being made available for us in Christ, and we may see the truth of the word. So if we have been taught differently to believe that the mark is going to be given by Antichrist alone, we can see now that God also is marking his own people, and we can see the way God marks his own people, and that is a spiritual thing. And that's why we believe also the marking of the Antichrist is first and foremost a spiritual thing. And if we have been receiving his mark spiritually, there's no way we will not receive his mark physically or naturally. This is the teaching of the word. We hope to continue and to come your way next week as we bring this message to you. We trust that you have been blessed. We trust that you have been challenged to go back to the word of God and to seek yourself and to pray and to enter into understanding that will bring a transformation and a change into your life. We pray that the Lord will bless you, and that the word you have heard today will be a blessing to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness. For